grab this little serving card up here for the Women's Lifehouse. I think Jimmy's going to talk about it on Sunday. But if you are interested and you are a woman, I believe, Carla, you're looking for some help. Is that the case? Or if you're interested in serving, see Carla. I'm sure she has more details on this. But if you guys are interested or you ladies are interested, feel free to talk to her after service. It's good to be back on vacation. It feels like we've been gone a while. And even though we were at church on Sunday, it still feels like, you know, getting back into the swing of things. But I think we all had a good time out there. You know, the boat was a little different. I'd never been on a cruise before, so I didn't really quite know what to expect. But I did learn a lot as I was, sailing the ocean. As one is, Dramamine is your best friend. If you get motion sickness, that is going to take care of you and make you feel pretty good. I learned that dolphins are a lot bigger in person when they're staring you in the face than what you might think. I was able to give one a hug and give one a kiss, and those animals are a lot bigger and a lot stronger than I had thought they were going to be. I also learned that the Bahamas have the most beautiful water that I've ever seen in my entire life. We were going to see the dolphins, and we could look down. It's probably 30, 40 foot deep, and you could see clear to the bottom in the middle of the ocean. So it was beautiful. I also learned that if you eat like 6 days of shrimp in one meal, you're not going to feel too good. It was, I ate like a huge platter on Tuesday, and I got a shrimp side, and I got a shrimp entree, and I just was eating all this shrimp. And it's Wednesday, we got to the little beach, and I was feeling awful all day. But you live and you learn. But as we did sail on that boat, one of the things that I did learn that I found to be probably the most interesting thing about the whole vacation was the crew that was on the boat. We saw a show the first night, and the cruise director came out, and they said that on the ship that we were on, there was 1,600 crew members from 66 different countries that were taking care of the ship, whether it was cooking, whether it was doing the shows, whether it was cleaning your room, whether it was serving, whether it was being a bartender at the pool, whatever it was. There were 1,600 people, and they were so easy to identify. There was no question about who the server was at your table. They were all tuxedoed up and had a nice little bow tie, and you knew that that was, in fact, your server. When you're walking through the halls, people who were cleaning your room, they had a clean get-up, and there was no mistake that that was the room person, that was the person who was going to be cleaning your room. When you're at the buffet, there are people walking around putting food out, cleaning up tables. There was no mistake those were the people who were supposed to take care of that area and all of the other facets of the boat. They all had their designated garb. They all had their designated area that they were supposed to be in, and they were easy, extremely easy to identify. They had name tags. They had all those things. Very easy to identify. And it didn't matter where you were at on the boat. You knew who was a crew member. You knew who was part of the staff. You knew who was there to work, and you knew those who were there on vacation. He said, what are you telling me this for? Well, because on that boat, amongst the 1,600 crew member, there were about 5,000 extra or other people who were on vacation. So there's a lot of people on that boat. My question to you tonight is, are you easy to identify? In this world, as a Christian, when people look at you, can they say, oh, I know she is a believer in Christ. Oh, I know he goes to church. I know that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you as easy to identify as you should be? Are we slacking a little bit? See, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is an identity crisis going on. Specifically this month, based on what the world tells us this month is. For those of you who don't know what June is, it is June. But what the world tells us it is, that it is Pride Month. There are men who are having sex with men. There are women who are having sex with women. They're saying that it is okay. There are men who are trying to be women and women who are trying to be men. There are little girls who want to be little boys and little boys who want to be little girls. Every June, it's celebrated. And I'm not here tonight to preach on the LGBT community, because when that community gets together, they're lost. This is what I expect to see when I look at the world. I don't expect to see the best get up and them following Christ. I expect to see them living however they so choose, their lifestyle fits. But what is alarming to me is that as a Christian, or as I see Christians today, we have taken a sidestep to what the Bible says and what the Word of God is, and we don't understand our own identity in Christ. And that, to me, is more of a crisis than that community. When we don't understand our identity and who we are in Christ and who He's made us through His blood, it is extremely difficult to take the good news, the message that is in this book, to a lost and dying world. And I think that we should probably shore up some things tonight, and that's what this message is going to be about. So if you have your Bibles, join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to spend all of our time tonight. And hopefully it's a reminder. I know we talked about some of the things that during prayer and pray time that we struggle with, and some of the things that we need help with. And I hope that this is a reminder for you tonight who Christ says you are, the lifestyle that you now have, and the lifestyle you can live if you choose to follow and do it His way. So I hope that we can all be reminded of that tonight, at least those of us who are believers in Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 14. And it says, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Verse 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Verse 21. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're so thankful that we have such an open line of communication with you if we have your Spirit. I pray tonight that we can glorify you, that we can lift your name on high, that we can exalt you over the next couple of minutes, God. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, allow us to get back on track with the people that you've asked us to be, and to not be wishy-washy, not be unsure of certain things, God, but may we put our feet firmly on the foundation that was there from the beginning of the world. We love you, God, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I read those verses, and we can see that there's a lot of things that the old have become. The old is past, the new is here, that we are ambassadors of Christ. But verse 14, it says, "The love of Christ compels us." That means the love of Christ in our new body, in our new relationship with Him, it should control us. Every aspect of what we do, it should control us. Our mind, our thoughts, our actions, everything that we do should come from the Holy Spirit. We should run it by Him before we do it. The thoughts that we have are not our old thoughts anymore. They shouldn't be. We should make sure that we're allowing Jesus Christ to run and control every aspect of our life. And if verse 14 is true, which it is, verse 15 says that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who had died for us and rose again. What does that mean? If we are no longer to live for ourselves, the things that we want, the things that we feel like we need, the things that we feel as if are going to make or break our day should be put off, and we should be living for none other than Jesus Christ. We should be living a lifestyle that is pleasing, honoring, glorifying the one who died and rose again. The one who gave us life, the one who put breath in our lungs, the one who died for us on a cross like that, so that we might be able to experience all that He's had in this life and after for us. Yet the problem is, we don't quite like doing that, but our old lifestyle was a way that was really, according to verse 16, superficial. It says in verse 16 that from now on, we should regard no one according to the flesh. So our old lifestyle, we were so caught up in fleshly things, so caught up in physical things, so caught up in status and money and all of those things that are temporary. He says, in this new life, from now on, from the time you get saved to the time you die, we should no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. See, our old lives, and maybe we do it now, we judge or evaluate people based on temporary things. Their socioeconomic status, the amount of money that they make in a year, the size of the house that they have, the type of car they drive, the job that they choose to work at. And we evaluate and we pick and choose all these things to see whether or not this is a person that we would like to talk to, whether or not this is a person that we would like to entertain, whether or not this is a person we would like to be part of our inner circle. Makes things a little shaky, doesn't it? Because when we get to pick and choose who we share the gospel to and who's worthy of hearing it, it makes things a little tough, doesn't it? When we pick and choose based on age or gender or sexuality preference or whatever it may be, when we pick and choose who's worthy to hear the good news, don't quite jive up with what God wants for us. We should be sharing this message to everybody and not be focused on the things according to the flesh, not focused on the temporary things, not focused on of all the things that we just talked about. Now, we are supposed to look at and act on spiritual things. When the Holy Spirit is prodding us to go talk to that person at the grocery store because they need to hear about Christ, regardless of what they look like, should we not do it? I was sitting in a hot tub on that boat, and there was a gentleman. He was an older gentleman. He was a little bit larger. He took up a fair amount of the hot tub, and me, Ashley, and Tyler got in there. The Spirit said, hey, chat with him. Old me would have said, I'm not going to talk to this old guy. I'm not going to talk to him. I don't have anything in common with him. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk to him. Old me would say, he's old. He probably can't hear me. He's a little weird looking. Don't want to talk to him. I'm trying to enjoy my vacation. I'm trying to, you know, and do what I want to do. The Spirit said, hey, I want you to talk to this guy. So I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Phil. What's your name? Christian. Oh, hey, Christian. How are you? Well, you know, we can go back and forth. And what a blessing it was. And I'm glad I listened because he's a Christian guy. Been saved. He serves in his church. He deals with youth. So, wow. It's like looking in a mirror. When you look at spiritual and not physical, wow, don't we have a lot in common? And so he went on to tell me about all the things that he was doing in his church and all of the people that he was reaching. And when we got done talking, we talked 25 minutes or so, 30 minutes. And, you know, we're cutting up and enjoying each other's company. He said, is there anything I can pray for you about? So he said, yeah, my brother Mario, he's struggling with some things, and we prayed. And it was fantastic. But had I looked at that opportunity as this old guy, whatever, and I looked at it fleshly, I never would have had that blessing on that boat. When we stop looking at the physical and the things that take us out of our comfort zone, we begin to understand that God is going to work in us. God can work through us. Because when we pick and choose based on physical things, it makes sharing the gospel extremely difficult. It makes sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world, with the community that I spoke about earlier, makes sharing the gospel with them almost impossible. Why? Because we say that we don't want to get to know them because of the lifestyle that they live. Have we forgotten how we used to live before Christ? Because let me tell you something, we weren't too far off. We might have had a different sin, but we weren't too far off from the rest of the people who are living without Christ. And now, is it not our job to share the only thing that changed any one of us in this room? Is it not our job to preach a new message? Is it not our job to put aside the physical and think more spiritual, allow the Holy Spirit to work in us? I think so. And why should we not? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we do not look at things which are seen, But if the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says, at the end of it, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. All of the things that we see as physical, as being in the flesh, as tangible things, temporary. They're superficial. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't make that much of a difference. We need to be looking at things through a spiritual lens. But here's where I believe, in verse 17, here's where the identity crisis of the Christian today kicks in. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You say, well, where's the crisis? Where's the not sure about things? Because we have Christians today, maybe even in this church, who proclaim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you can't tell. Why? Because they are still living in the dead old things. The new thing, all of the new things that should have come from your salvation through Jesus Christ, all of the new things, it's blended, it's mixed. They're not quite sure about what God's Word says. They play the, I'm naive, I didn't know that. Or when asked about hot topics such as gay marriage or things like that, they don't know. They'd rather not talk instead of saying, this is what God's Word says. They play the fence, hoping not to upset anybody, hoping to not ruffle any feathers, hoping to get along with everybody. And worse than that is they still live that old lifestyle. Still live that old lifestyle, and they can't let go of it. And it's crazy to see the blending of the old and the new. Think back to when I told you about the crew. They were easily identified. Can you imagine the chaos on that boat if they were all dressed like they were on vacation? Didn't have a name tag on? Nobody knew who was supposed to help them or get them dinner or clean up their plates? It would be a nightmare. Everybody, it would be a free-for-all almost. When you can't identify, you can't distinguish between the people who are supposed to be doing their job and the people who are there for vacation, it'd be a nightmare. When we're living in the world and we can't distinguish who our brother and sister in Christ is from the world who's doing whatever they want because they're too blended, they're too mixed, what does that tell us? It's confusing. It's chaos. We don't know our left from our right. We're trying to do everything in order to be man-pleasers, to keep people happy with us. We can't tell the difference anymore. It's hard for me to tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer. I believe it's getting exceedingly more difficult. The people I talk to, oh, I'm a Christian. Okay, did not see that one coming. Oh, I go to church. Okay, are you listening when you're there? Are you allowing Christ to do a work in your life? Are you really allowing Him to do it? Are you still living the old way? Do you understand that when you play the fence, when you blend it, it makes things confusing? It makes it extremely difficult to witness to people. And whose fault is it? Is it their fault for not listening? No, it's our fault for not living it. And we walk through life thinking everything's okay, thinking that, oh, God understands why you're doing this. It's probably okay. I didn't read the Bible. Actually, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to tell you that because I don't want to hurt your feelings. Instead of telling them that sin leads to death, tell them that God loves them, that there's a way out, that you don't have to live like this anymore. Why? Because I don't. Because of I'm a new creation. Because I don't have to live the old lifestyle that I used to live. But we do it every day. We do it every day. As if we don't care. We've gotten so used to doing things subpar, so used to showing up to church, just making it a routine and a habit that when there's a pastor preaching, whether it's Jimmy, Phil, myself, Phil, just, well, I heard the words. Can't remember what he said. don't know what he was talking about. I was there. I was on my phone. I was having a conversation. I was doing this. You don't really want to be changed by the Word of God. It's not anything I'm saying. It's all the Word of God that's going to change you. It doesn't matter who's standing up here. This is what's going to change you. This is what's going to pull you from that old lifestyle. This is what's going to allow you to be the person that Christ intended for you to be. But we can't do it. See, if I was, and I'm not sharing these stories to boast at all, but if I was living on the fence, if I was unsure about what God's Word said, I wouldn't have these two things that happened to me. I shared with you guys a couple of weeks ago how a guy came up to me and said, didn't even work in my department. I've never prayed with the guy. He works on the other side of the building. He comes up to me and says, Phil, do you have time? I said, yeah, I do. I need prayer for my daughter. She's going through some things. I stopped right then and there and prayed for him. Why did he feel like, we don't have that many interactions. I rarely see the guy. I say hi to him in the morning. Why would he feel like it's okay for him to come to me and ask for that? Because my reputation at work, oh, he prays for people. Oh, he does things. I'm not living on the fence. I'm not saying, well, one side of me says this and another side of me says this and we're... You know, I got two lesbian women who work for me. We've had multiple conversations about what I believe, but guess what? It's never turned into an argument or a fight. So this is what the Word of God says. This is where it's at. This is what I believe. But I love you. And there's never going to be a divide between you and I as far as work goes. On Monday, we had inventory. Saturday, we had inventory. I go into the scheduler's office, and there's the inventory coordinator, whoever he is. He's talking about, oh, hey, you know, thanks for helping me out on Saturday. You know, we were there for 5 hours. You know, you guys found a lot of cereals, blah, blah, blah. He goes, can I buy you a drink? I said, no. I said, I like root beer, though. You can get me one of those. Or a Boston Cooler. Bring one of them bad boys in. I'll take one of those all day. He was like, oh, you don't drink? What's up with nobody drinking? I said, what? He said, have you never drank? I said, oh, I did. I said, well, let me tell you a story. So when I was 19 years old, I gave my heart to Christ, and ever since then, and we're talking, and then the scheduler chimed in, and then they start poking fun at me. Well, Jesus drank. Yeah, well, and then, you know, they're poking fun at me and whatever, but I was able through that little time to say, no, I don't drink. Yeah, I used to, but God pulled me out of it. I got saved when I was 19 years old. Don't do it anymore. Any other questions? If I was playing both sides of the fence, oh, no, I do, okay, you know, I do it all the time, or on weekends, or with my friend, or whatever. I'm not bashing anybody who drinks. That's up to you. That's between you and God. But I'm not doing it. Why? Because God pulled me out of that lifestyle. I don't have to do it anymore. Playing both sides of the fence don't get us anywhere, but deeper into confusion. We ought to stop doing it. So too many of us are blending the old and the new, but I'm so thankful that God doesn't blend. His words, whether they be in red or black, absolute truth. And what he says in verse 18, I'm thankful for this. He says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. You see, we didn't reconcile ourselves to him. 10 times out of 10, we would say, we'll do it our way. 10 times out of 10, we'll say, no, we don't need you. 10 times out of 10, we'll put you to the side and we'll try it our way first. And then maybe have to... You know, 9.5 times out of 10, I'll still do it my way. Maybe that half time, I'll go to you. But he says, he reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ. That's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He didn't give in to our sin and say, ah, it's okay. You know, I understand. Come on. Matter of fact, we're going to take the gates down on heaven and just everybody comes in. That caveat in the Bible, oh, I forgot to say because I didn't know you were going to be born that it's okay for you to do this. But everybody else can't, but I'm going to let it slide for you. Everything in this book is black and white. What's black is black, what's white is white, what's God's Word is God's Word. End of story, period. That's how it is. He didn't leave any caveats, he didn't blur any lines, and he doesn't change his Word to fit our lifestyle. And he is the one who reconciles us to him. Through Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's not playing the fence. I'm glad he's not wishy-washy with what he says in this book. I'm glad that he didn't go back and change it or say, oh, hey, by the way, I forgot this 2,000 years ago. Let me write up a new version and add it in. I'm thankful that this is the absolute truth. A lot of other things to worry about in this world, isn't there? Than wondering if we're reading and hearing absolute truth when we come in here. plenty else to worry about, but I'm thankful that we don't have to worry when it comes to this book right here. So now that we're new, now that we're doing things, should be doing things according to our new life, what's our new message? See, our old message used to be, do whatever you want. Do what makes you happy. If you want to go to church and be a good person, that'll get you into heaven. If you want to do X, Y, or Z, do X, Y, or Z. As long as it makes you feel good, makes you happy, puts a smile on everybody's face, doesn't hurt nobody's feelings, it's good. Love everybody. Don't worry about anything. If it doesn't affect you, it's not that big of a deal. You know, why are you worrying about this? That's our old message. Do what you want, whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you feel good. What's our new message? Now that we are a new creation. In Christ, verse 19 tells us that at the end of it, that He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What we just read in verse 18, that God reconciled Himself to us, we now get to tell people, hey, because of Jesus Christ, you can have a relationship with God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the God of this Bible. You can have a relationship with them, but it only comes through Jesus Christ. You see, too many of us, when asked, what's the way to heaven? I don't know. Well, Jesus is one way, but I also heard that you can, when you die, that you can pray people into heaven. So, hey, there's a chance there. I also heard that when you die, if prayer doesn't work, it doesn't happen fast enough, that you can pay people into heaven. You can buy people's way in. That, oh, you serve at the soup kitchen. Oh, you're a great person. You fed the homeless. You gave a bunch of money to the church. You housed the orphans and the widows. You did all those things. So probably, maybe, I think, that all those things are just as good as Jesus. On a scale of Jesus and everything else, they're probably the same. Oh, you don't believe in Jesus, but you believe in this Egyptian god? Hey, at least you believe in a God. Probably going to get you into heaven. No. Our message should be clear that we are only reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Not on the fence about it. Not wishy-washy about it. Not unsure about what His Word says. Simple. God's Word is simple. Can be simple. Now there's some scriptures that you have to work out and read, but simple. We make such a mess of simple. We make such a mess of simple because we're unwilling to share the truth. In verse 20 says, Now because of our new relationship with Christ, because of the old things have passed and the things are new, and now because we're reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a person who acts as a representative or promotes something. How well are we representing Jesus Christ on a daily basis? How well are we being a good representation of the Word of God? How well are we representing New Life Fellowship Church? You see, also on that boat with those crew members, they all had name tags. And of the 66 different countries, I saw a few of them. There was a lot of people from Colombia. Tanzania was one of them, a few Americans. But the two that stuck out to me the most were our servers at dinner. One's name was Doni, and others was Fajar. And these two guys were from Bali. Until that day, I forgot that Bali was an actual country. It's some little tiny island in Indonesia. And let me tell you, these were two of the most hardworking, nicest guys I've ever ran into in my entire life. If I didn't know anything, and I had to judge Bali based on these two guys, that's a place that I want to live. That's a place that I want to go to. That's a place that I want to spend time with. Why? Because these people were so hospitable. Yeah, it was their job, but not everybody had a smile. Yeah, it was their job, but not everybody was as good as these two cats were. Yeah, it was their job, but not everybody with a name tag said they were from Bali probably had the attitude that these two guys did, but I didn't care. I was sold. They were joking around. They were doing everything that you would think a good server should do. Their English was a little bit broken, and what was funny, you would get something from them, and you'd say, thank you, and they'd say, thank you. It's like, no, it's your welcome. But every single time, they would just keep saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. But man, I fell in love with those two guys. They were so awesome, and they were trying so hard to keep up on things. And by nothing other than their name tag and them telling me that they're from Bali, it made me want to go there. It made me want to check out the culture. It made me want to see the people, just based on these two guys that I saw. We should be like those two guys as Christians, that when people look at us, they see Jesus, pure, not playing both sides of the fence, that, wow, they're a Christian. They say that they have this through Christ. I want to get to know Him. I want to know the Jesus that they know. I want to know the God that they serve. I want to know the church that they go to. I want to be part of this Christian world that they say the only reason they have anything is because of this. That's what I want to be. We should all strive to have a relationship with Christ such that when people see us, they know that we're different. That we don't have a physical name tag, but they can tell through our conversations and the things that we do and the actions that we do and all of the things that we talk about that they're an ambassador of Christ. They're not swaying back and forth. They're not being tossed to and fro. When somebody presses them, they press back and they stand firm in the Word of God. And that is how we all ought to be as believers. Norm, running out of time, but here's the best news. The best, the deal of a lifetime, if you will. Verse 21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Not only does our relationship with Jesus Christ take our sin and place it on Him, He trades our sin. Not only does that happen, which is great, which is enough. He says in verse 21 that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Amen? The sinful old lifestyle that we represented before Jesus Christ. Dead. Worthless. Physical. Superficial. Has been taken and placed on the cross because of what Jesus Christ did. Not only that, but He made us become His righteousness. That means we traded our sinful lifestyle for the perfection of Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, because of that, He doesn't see me. He doesn't see my old lifestyle, all the junk that I did before Him. He sees three nails and blood. Because He gave His only Son to die for me and to you and for you. Now, if that ain't the deal of a lifetime, I don't know what is. So now we come to this moment, this closing moment, and I ask you, for those of you who are Christians, we have this deal already. We have this lifestyle. We have this promise. We best not make it look unappealing to the world by doing things that we used to do. We best understand who we are in Christ, that we are a new creation, that our old lifestyle has died, that we are now ambassadors of the Most High God. And we need to start living it. For those of you who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who are on the fence, who aren't quite sure what I'm talking about, you best not miss the opportunity. It doesn't last forever. Who knows if you hear the gospel message ever again? Who knows if you have another opportunity to give your heart to Christ other than tonight? But that is a decision that you guys have to make. So let's stand.